You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 10th, 2022, word coming down that we are going to have a meeting between President Putin and the President of Belarus. That's according to state media. They're going to meet Friday in Moscow. Belarus, of course, is bordering Ukraine to the north, and it was holding joint military exercises with Russia in days leading up to the invasion and reportedly assisting Russia from Belarus and might still be doing so. A lot of news agencies have pulled their reporters out of Russia because Russia is threatened to imprison anybody that is not walking the state line. In other words, they will shut you down and they will arrest you. Some news agencies have begun still carrying reporters' stories but removing their byline so they cannot be directly identified. I don't think that's going to fly with Putin. Your byline's not on your story, but it's in a publication that you work for. There's proof enough. In the meantime, CIA Director William Burns said, even though Putin is tightening its grip on what the media is saying, I don't think they're going to be able to seal off Russia entirely from the truth. He said there are a lot of Russians who have VPN accounts, who have access to YouTube to this day. He said, I don't believe he can wall off indefinitely Russians from the truth. That's what he's telling lawmakers. More than 2 weeks since Russia first began the invasion, 1,500 civilian casualties reported in Ukraine, more than 2.3 million fleeing the nation, and of that number, 1.2 million apparently are children. They say the families coming out, the number is staggering, is how desperate the situation is. Many fleeing into, of course, Poland, Hungary, Slovakia, Moldova, Romania. Most going to Poland. VP Harris in Poland yesterday meeting with the Polish president and saying, we're on the same page, we're on the same page, we're all working together. Well, Poland originally wanted to send some MiG jets, some of the older World War II craft, to Ukraine to help the people of Ukraine. And we supposedly were going to be involved in a deal to give them U.S. modern planes. The Pentagon rejected the proposal, saying it could escalate tensions. So that's been put on hold. And it's not really clear that the MiGs would have been of that much value to the pilots in Ukraine anyway. Many of them have been trained in them. They're familiar with them, but whether or not it helped that much. The VP did announce that the U.S. is pledging another $50 million to the U.N. World Food Program to assist with humanitarian aid in Ukraine. In the meantime, a Ukrainian economic advisor saying that the Russian military has already destroyed at least $100 billion worth of infrastructure, buildings, roads, so forth. And they continue shelling escape paths, and they continue shelling, apparently, hospitals. Democrats last night, after hours of delay, finally passed a $1.5 trillion omnibus spending bill, which does include money for Ukraine, $13 billion. But it also contains a lot of leftist, woke, climate change things, $100 billion on Green New Deal programs, while inflation rate climbing to another 40-year high without counting gas prices. But that bill that's going to give all these things to the green also includes woke spending, It includes money to expand diversity, equality, and inclusion in our national intel agencies. Yeah, that's something they really need to focus on. Oh, and out of Democrat New York, Sean Maloney, head of the Democrat Congressional Campaign Committee, invited some entertainment to provide for the Women's 2022 Issues Conference. Brought in a feminist who advocates for women's rights. I should say, a woman who's complaining about it, because the person they brought in was a living drag legend. And on one hand, we're told to respect women. And then this.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I am here, standing here on the northern flank, on the eastern flank, talking about what we have in terms of the eastern flank and our NATO allies, and what is at stake at this very moment. What is at stake this very moment are some of the guiding principles around the NATO alliance, and in particular, the issue and the importance of defending sovereignty and territorial integrity, in this case of Ukraine.
That is Vice President Harris. I'm not going to mock her. She was doing an acceptable job representing our nation as she met with the President of Poland and talking about how bad things are in Ukraine and how we're all going to try to stand together. But she did not give him what he wanted. She did pledge more humanitarian support, $53 million in new assistance to help take care of the refugees fleeing out of Ukraine, most of them going into Poland. Now, to that point, I saw an interview a reporter had done with some of the children that had come out of Ukraine. Now, the reporter could have been selective in who he was asking the question. He or she, I don't know. And even if they were not being selective, it's still a very small number that were probably interviewed compared to, it's estimated 1 million children have evacuated Ukraine. But every one of those children said they wanted to come to the United States. We are the beacon on the hill for so many around the world that truly need sanctuary. I'm not talking about those fleeing Honduras, Guatemala, and so forth, and the drug violence, and then participating in when they come up here. I'm talking about those who are obviously in war-torn countries, and they will be slaughtered if they don't get out. There are legitimate cases with inside Central and South America, but this is a clear case of these are asylum seekers. Someone described the other day the difference between an immigrant and an asylum seeker, that the asylum person would prefer to stay in their country, but they can't for fear of being persecuted and or killed. These children are refugees, but those being interviewed said they want to come to America. And, of course, the same thing happened with Afghanistan. With Afghanistan and those wanting to get out of that country, they wanted to go to America. Many of them had already had agreements made that because they helped our forces while we were there for 20 years in various ways, even if it's just a translator, that we would make sure that they and their family got to America in payment in case Afghanistan went back to the Taliban, which it has. So we have, bear with me just a second here. We have numerous around the world that want to come to this country. You who live here and were born here, you got the lucky golden ticket. So VP Harris is trying to reinforce that the U.S. is going to stand with NATO nations and that we have concern about Ukraine, but we're not going to be getting directly involved. She's recognizing the violence in Ukraine by these remarks.
We have been witnessing for weeks, and certainly just in the last 24 hours, atrocities of unimaginable proportion. A maternity hospital, a children's hospital, where we have witnessed pregnant women who were there for care, for one reason, being taken out because they required care because of an act of violence, unprovoked, unjustified.
There are those who were in that hospital for the pregnant women and in other hospitals, and those along the corridors that supposedly there had been ceasefires declared for folks to use these routes to escape. And then the Russian military, artillery generally, I don't know that any fighters were used, but either artillery or drones, whatever, targeted those areas, killing more. There's one picture I was looking at earlier that's, it may or may not become the picture of the war, but it's a mother and two of her children down on the ground. They got one of those small suitcases with wheels on it with probably all the goods they have, and they were being led to safety, hopefully, by another Ukrainian who was going to get them out of the country. The husband and father had to stay behind with his mother. She was too sick to travel, so he was going to stay with his mother. But Ukraine has been saying we need more help. And, of course, the position I've seen this administration is that we're leading from behind all the time. When we were watching all these troops build up along Belarus-Ukraine border, that was the time to start sending in a lot of equipment. I'm not just talking about blankets and food and medical supplies. I'm normally get all that military equipment inside so they have it. And then we're out of there when the invasion happens, and, yeah, they've got arms, but there was no war, and now there is. So the idea was, again, Poland was wanting newer jets and willing to send MiGs to Ukraine, the older World War II jets. The Pentagon said last night, no, it would look like we're escalating the issue. During a news conference today, Harris skirted directly that question and said, we're making deliveries every day in terms of what we can do. It's an ongoing process. but no planes. No planes. And yet, we have sent previous military equipment, which includes Javelin and Stinger missiles. Two U.S. senior officials have openly admitted the U.S. was sending Stinger missiles to Ukraine. Well, that's getting you engaged while the war is underway. They said that, and now suddenly the White House, Pentagon, State Department won't confirm it. 2 days ago, the House Armed Services Committee held a hearing about how the U.S. does engage with partners and allies. And predictably, they asked the first two witnesses, one Assistant Secretary of State for Political Military Affairs, the other Assistant Secretary for Defense Strategy, about our assistance to Ukraine. And both responded, yes, Stingers have been sent to Ukraine, saying that we have sent a wide range of support since September. Stinger missiles, Javelin missiles, tank rocket systems, grenade launchers, 2,000 tons of ammunition, including mortar, artillery rounds, small arms, machine guns, a lengthy list. Now, that is proof that we were actually doing something in advance of Putin's invasion. That was in September. Why we didn't also decide better get some jets in there now, I don't know. And I'm not sure there's anyone that can answer it. But aside from admitting that and saying that we sent them to them back in September, I raised the question in the last hour, so you had them en route. Are they going? Are they there now? What? With the aircraft, Stingers were delivered for the first time in Ukraine this week. This week. They came in Monday, 200 of them. But you can't get the U.S. to repeat any of that officially, because they're fearing that Putin would look at that as we're getting involved in the war and be an escalation. I admit that's a thin, narrow line to walk. I admit that. You're on a tightrope without a net. Politico says the White House won't even talk to us on background. It's also very out there, and yet, hush, hush. Why? The best is the experts they talk to can assume is that the administration did not want to increase tensions with Russia by boasting about providing Stingers. It's a very deliberate approach. But as I said, if you got them in there, if those missiles just arrived this week, they should have been in there 8 weeks ago. If we were going to give planes, they should have been in there 8-9 weeks ago. We started the process in September, and these Stingers just got there this week. But, of course, Ukraine is not a NATO nation. Poland is. So yesterday, while appearing with the Polish president, BP Harris made this clear.
We will do everything together, in partnership, in solidarity, to support what is necessary at this very moment in terms of the humanitarian and security needs of Ukraine and the Ukrainian people. The United States is prepared to defend every inch of NATO territory. The United States takes seriously that an attack against one is an attack against all.
Well, that's pretty strong language. I don't know who wrote it for, but it's effective. But riddle me this. When you hear this administration, be it VP Harris relaying the statement, or President Biden, or anyone else they put up in front, and they say, we will defend every inch of NATO territory. The first thing that comes to mind for me is how we handled Afghanistan. the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Afghanistan, not a NATO partner, but how we got out of there and how we abandoned U.S. citizens who may still be trapped there, probably are, if not executed, abandoned Afghans that we had promised we would take care of. And if I'm a NATO country and I hear that the U.S. is going to be with me every step of the way until they're not, that's not very reassuring, is it? This administration can do a 180 without blinking. And if you look at what happened with Afghanistan and how we abandoned the people that we told repeatedly, we will protect you and get you out of here, and we left them behind, and Americans got left behind, and many Afghans we brought into the country did not go through full security checks and don't belong here in the sense of being one of those we granted asylum to. All right, coming up, we got so many other issues you can't ignore, border of the U.S. and things of that nature, but also don't forget the January 6th riot. The Democrats want to make sure you remember that story. Stand by.
Larry Connors, USA.
Matthew Rosenberg is the New York Times national security correspondent. He wrote an article in the Times regarding January 6th, the so-called insurgency riot at the White House, at Congress, which Democrats are now trying to exploit, drag more attention away from failures of the Biden administration. In the article, he had originally stated that all the conservative news outlets suggesting that the FBI planted agents to stir up the crowd is a false flag. He said it's an instant rewriting of history. In other words, it's totally wrong. It was not like that at all. Well, he is a national security correspondent, New York Times, Pulitzer Prize winner. So a lot of people simply believe it based on his past credentials. Howsomever, Project Veritas just released new video, and Rosenberg, not knowing he's being recorded, contradicted everything I just told you. He said, we went and uncovered the fact that there were a ton of FBI informants among those who attacked the Capitol. He said, we've recently talked out to people still talking on the inside at CIA, NSA, because the people on the inside cannot talk, so we got others who were talking. And he said there were tons of FBI informants mixed into the crowd, acting like they were participants, maybe egging them on. He said, really, the way it was, the way we looked at it, the reporter and I who were there, he said, it's kind of fun. That's over fun. He said the left has overreacted. The reaction was so over the top. Me and two other colleagues who were there, were outside, we're just having fun. He got questioned by the Project Veritas reporter, say, well, are you supposed to have fun? I thought you're supposed to be in mourning. And that's where Rosenberg called out the New York Times younger reporters for presenting a false sense of danger and milking their trauma. He said, I know, I'm supposed to be traumatized, But like all these colleagues who were in the Capitol building, they're young and they're like, oh my God, it's scary. I'm like, F off. He said, I wanted to say, dude, come on, you're not in any real danger. And then he called out by name five of his co-workers of the Times, over-exaggerating their trauma. He said they are all effing little dweebs who keep going on about their trauma. He mentioned a couple of reporters, and when the Project Veritas undercover reporter said, well, did they write about their trauma? He said, I don't know if they wrote about their trauma, but this one chick, which he named, and this guy, both in their 20s, they cover Congress, so like congressional reporters, effing B-word. Oh, he was loose as a goose, talking as much as he wanted. Later, even talked about how he got sucked into writing an anniversary article by the managing editor of the Times. See, I got sucked into this. Usually I do investigative stuff. I do longer-term things, but like I'm going back to work on Monday, my managing editor had a great idea. Could have had a month ago, because he was like, we should do something about it. He said it was just kind of top-of-the-hat thinking, and they got sucked into going and doing something else. So in the anniversary story, did he change things and say the real truth? Nope. He stuck to the same story. Now that this story is out, an audio and apparently video with it from Project Veritas, Rosenberg, calling colleagues dweebs and faking drama, and how the left is so over the top on this entire thing, we will have to see if he remains a New York Times reporter. You want to take odds on it? I'll lay my money on the answer is no. Coming up, more Biden gas price hikes. Not his fault.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, this is Wizard of Oz time for the American people. You know, the Biden administration is saying, please don't pay attention to the little man behind the curtain. When the little man behind the curtain said clearly in 2020 when he was running for office that he was going to shut down fossil fuel drilling, he said he was going to really put the quietus, if you will, on the oil and gas industry. And that's exactly what he's done. They can say all they want about it's Russia's fault, it's Russia's fault. But this problem started on day one when he stepped into the White House, and one of the first things he did, if not the first thing, was to stop the XL pipeline. All of those send powerful messages to the fossil fuel industry. And I might add, it also sends powerful messages to those on the left that basically drive the agenda of this president.
And they continue to drive the agenda. That is former Texas Governor Rick Perry, former Energy Secretary. And you talk about still driving the green sky, pie in the sky agenda. They just passed a $1.3 trillion omnibus bill last night in the House. And included in it, because the Democrats do control the House so far, that's why 2022 is so critical. It includes $100 million for more green pie-in-the-sky projects and a lot of the other woke philosophy issues. But as Perry was pointing out, Biden continues to want to say, it's not me, man. Not me. Not me, man. It's got to be all on Putin. That's what they've been saying. And they continue.
Putin's war is already hurting American families at the gas pump.
The reason why the price of gas is going up is not because of steps the president has taken. They are because President Putin is invading Ukraine.
Egregious activities of Vladimir Putin.
Even if we drilled as much as we could, the price of oil is still set globally.
There is no amount of domestic production that we can do.
I've used every tool available to address price increases, and it's beginning to work. Take gasoline and gas prices. Last week, I announced the largest ever release from the United States Strategic Petroleum Reserve. We've seen oil and gas prices out of the wells. Oil and gas prices on the wholesale market come down significantly.
No, they didn't come down significantly. And that, I know that voice sounded like Senator Chuck Schumer. That was Biden when he was fighting that sore throat. It came all sounding pretty heavy and a lot different than the normal Biden. Sounded like Chuck Schumer, I mean, when I first heard it. But it was Biden talking about what he had done, releasing fuel from the Strategic Reserve, which is set up for strategic reasons, not political reasons, to reduce or release gas to get prices down, as he did November 23rd, just before Thanksgiving and holiday travel. A coinky dinky. Now we're taking some out to help Europe that is going to be short of fuel because of the Russia-Ukraine issue. I'm looking at a piece written by Jordan Boyd for The Federalist. The exact title of the piece, it's again, it's one of these things that, like a movie title, Snakes on a Plane, it's going to tell you everything. And the title is, White House Will Blame Anyone But Biden for Feb's 7.9% inflation jump. That's right. That's right. I didn't tell you that, did I? I assume maybe you heard it before. Maybe you haven't. But just today the word came out, we're at another 40-year high, 7.9% inflation rate. None of that includes gas prices. But already, to fight the inflation story and to fit with the title of the piece for The Federalist, the White House will blame anyone but Biden. The White House blaming skyrocketing inflation, which was present before the Russian-Ukraine conflict, on current events instead of the policy decisions made by Biden. That's despite the fact inflation has been rising at an alarming rate since Biden assumed office. The administration, according to Jordan Boyd in this piece, has largely shrugged off Americans' concerns about the rising price of groceries, gas, and other essential items. You know how they can shrug it off? Because it doesn't affect them. And I talked about that in the last hour, and if you missed it, I always encourage you, if you miss any hour or you want to make sure you share it with someone else, it will be posted at a later date today at Larry Connors USA Facebook and also at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Either one of those, Larry Connors USA Facebook or LarryConnorsUSA.com. The .com seems to happen a little bit later sometimes. It's technical. I don't understand it, but it will be there. Sometimes it might not be on the front page. You may have to go to list of stories that pops up. But in the last hour, I was talking about, you know, for many of us, we're blessed enough, we're still going to pull in and buy gas. I'm not going to be searching for the lowest price. I need gas. I pull in and get it. There are some folks that are not that blessed. They're lucky to have a car. There are plenty of jobs out there, but maybe they don't have a job that's paying them the money they want. Maybe it's time for them to find something else. and wages will be going up, and that's just going to stir more inflation. Biden the other day falsely claimed during his State of the Union address last week, his solution to inflation is for businesses to lower your cost, not your wages. Well, that sounds just fine, doesn't it? That is a nonsensical look at how the economy operates. Because in order to stay open, companies have to raise prices to pay for the increasing price of what they're bringing in to sell. But he says, oh, we'll get the businesses to lower costs, not your wages. Well, if you're working for the place and they need workers desperately and they're paying good money now, they can't afford to lose you, or maybe somebody outside is ready to come in and work for a little bit less. But that's not going to change anything. The White House, Press Secretary Jen Psaki doing her job, trying to gaslight reporters into believing inflation is, quote, not as bad as it seems. We've seen inflationary numbers go down month to month. That's a lie. It's a flat-out lie. Inflation has gone up every month, since the beginning of Biden's presidency. And during the primary, in a debate, he made it very clear when asked by a reporter at the debate when it came to green pie-in-the-sky stuff versus oil and gas and fossil fuels. He's standing on stage to his left, literally and figuratively and politically, is Bernie Sanders. So he's trying to be as far left as Bernie for the audience watching. Of course, for the audience watching, Bernie is stage right. But the question and Biden's response tells you everything.
Vice President Biden, I'd like to ask you, three consecutive American presidents have enjoyed stints of explosive economic growth due to a boom in oil and natural gas production. As president, would you be willing to sacrifice some of that growth, even knowing potentially that it could displace thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers in the interest of transitioning to that greener economy?
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Number one, no more subsidies for fossil fuel industry. No more drilling on federal lands. No more drilling, including offshore. No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period.
In other words, yeah, he already had a plan. You were going to suffer. You were going to suffer. Unless you bought an electric car, which Energy Secretary pointed out, that's what I have.
I drive a Chevy Bolt, which is an electric vehicle. I don't have to buy gasoline. I have solar panels on my house, so I drive on sunshine.
Putin's war.
Because President Putin is Vladimir Putin.
There's no amount of domestic production we can do.
Number one, no more subsidies for fossil fuel industry. No more drilling on federal lands. No more drilling, including offshore. No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period.
Period. And that's what he's done, isn't it? Now the Fed's thinking about hiking rates next week, and we'll probably do it again and again and again. Coming up, I want to take you on board a plane where a man is told you cannot wear that shirt on here. And they make up an excuse that it's because he wasn't wearing his mask. And then there's another part of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Well, I started out with $1 million, gambled with a man and I won me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What's gonna happen? I'm just call Atlanta and speak to corporate security.
Okay.
And if you do come on the jet bridge, flip the shirt in outside, in and out, right, so that word doesn't show, I will have to deplane the whole aircraft.
No.
I'm sorry about that, sir. It's just Delta policy. You cannot wear it. And they did advise me also you would be on the no-flying list.
That is a Delta flight attendant. I know it's kind of hard to understand pickup. We're going to let you hear it again in a moment. But that's where she was telling a young man on board the plane that he wasn't keeping his mask on enough, so she was going to kick him off. Well, at the time, he's videotaping it. He has the mask on. I don't know if he did or didn't before that. But I don't really think that was the issue. I think the issue was the shirt he was wearing. A pullover, a hoodie, as he called it later. You're going to hear in this next piece coming up. And on the front of that hoodie, it said, F the rest of the word, Biden. And he's a young black man. And apparently that was upsetting either crew members and our passengers, and they were looking for a way to get him off the plane. It had nothing to do with the mask. Although when he's taking his hoodie off, he does pull his mask down to try to get the thing over his head and off. But she said, see, you're not wearing your mask. Riddle me this after you hear this. Riddle me this. Do you think it was the shirt or the mask?
What's going to happen? I just call Atlanta and speak to corporate security.
Okay.
And if you do come on the jet bridge, flip the shirt in outside, in and out, right, so that word doesn't show, I will have to deplane the whole aircraft.
No.
I'm sorry about that, sir. It's just Delta policy. You cannot wear it. And they did advise me also you will be on the no-flying list. Okay? So you want to come out on the jet bridge and just keep the shirt and get everybody else to LA?
You have yet to show me something.
All right, it's a policy. And you can call, and we could go ahead and look it up online, right on the jet bridge, on the computer.
If it's online, just pull out your cell phone.
But that's not inconvenient.
No. You're making this inconvenient, because last time I checked, I live in the United States of America with the First Amendment, freedom of press, freedom of speech, or freedom of religion. Do I not?
So I'm going to take it off, okay?
So,
I'm taking it off, okay?
So, you took it off.
You guys forced me to wear my mask. I don't want to wear it. I can't wear my hoodie. It's off. I'm going to go sit down. You guys better not bug me for the rest of the day. Whatever you guys come up and say to me will be recorded. Will be recorded, and you guys will get
to you.
Good. I'm glad he did that. He was very compliant, as you hear. By the way, just today, the Transportation Secretary advised they want to keep masks in place on planes for another month. Stupid, but that's what they're saying. But let's go back to the passenger for the rest of the story, because he has now taken his hoodie off, which had F. Biden on it, and walked out of the plane eventually and then to a clerk at the ticket counter.
I'm going to go sit down. You guys better not bug me for the rest of the day. Whatever you guys come up and say to me will be recorded. Will be recorded, and you guys will get
to you. So you want to come on the jet bridge and speak to me?
So I'm still getting kicked off the plane?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still getting kicked off the plane?
Yeah, you're not wearing the mask.
I literally just took off my hoodie. If you ask me nicely, I will put back on my mask, which I was doing as you came back up here.
All right. You can see that I'm relating the message to you, what the captain says. Say he doesn't want to off the aircraft anymore.
What's your name, brother?
John L. Brooks.
Yeah. So currently Delta Airlines is kicking me off for, I wore my mask the last time in the whole flight.
And he ended up leaving the flight. A ticket agent says, well, we will give you credit to your charge, to your credit card or whatever, or you can use for another flight. Basically, every state, in fact, every state has outlawed, mandated mask wearing. CEOs of two major airline carriers had testified before Congress recently. You don't need to wear a mask on our plane. Our HEPA filters do the job. We circulate the air 20 to 30 times per minute. But they still insist on making it a condition for you to fly. I know some people said, screw it, I'm not going to fly anymore, until they change that. The airline industries need money. They're not helping themselves at this point. But, of course, the TSA is the ruling body, and the White House is backing them up. But I still say, in my opinion, and I'm willing to bet a lot of you agree with me, In my opinion, it was not because of the mask. It was because he was wearing that shirt. As a matter of fact, if he had been wearing, and especially being a young black man, if he had been wearing a shirt that says, "I love Kamala," they would have escorted him with or without a mask up to front class and given him a seat and brought him champagne. I'm just willing to bet they would have. Maybe I'll try that sometime. And maybe the backside of my shirt will sit. Never mind. Hey, as always, I appreciate you listening. Share the word. No program like this exists. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.